What's up, everybody? It's the Locked On NHL Podcast. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres. Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs. Your Eastern Conference Tuesday edition. Mike, you ready to sit back and talk some hockey while watching some hockey? We got like a little watch party going on here.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun sitting here watching the third period of the Boston and Tampa game here. And it's a pivotal game, right? Tampa wins it. It's over. Boston's going home. And it could be the last game of Zdeno Chara's career, a very underlining story that isn't being discussed, but it very well could be. You know, like, this is a guy who's getting pretty old. I think, he's showing that he's finally aging, and Father Time is undefeated, and it looks like he might be claiming another one pretty soon. And we'll see. It's right now it's 1-1 in the third, and maybe they do have something in him to maybe extend his career one more game or so. But definitely ready to talk about this game and also a lot of what else is going on in the Eastern Conference, because there's also some off-ice news that's really intriguing, as most of the teams now have been eliminated for the playoffs and are starting to think about making some roster changes and some moves. So we'll definitely talk about that as well.
Yep, we got every series is 3-1, so that we could be getting to the conference finals pretty quickly here. So yeah, we'll talk about the Flyers Islanders series that's going on right now. We'll keep you up. We will talk about the Bruins and Lightning game here as it progresses. There's 10 minutes left in the third period as we're recording, so if something happens, we'll talk about it. Including quickly, we'll talk about this Cedric Paquette hit from behind on Charlie McAvoy. We'll get to that in a second. We've got a goalie conversation to get to, some salary cap storylines that are in effect for next year to be discussed. And we got to talk some Toronto Maple Leafs trade. We had a trade last week while we were recording, and we didn't know the return when we finished. So we'll bring that up as well. Kasperi Kapanen going to the Penguins was the big part of that deal. Let's start, though, with this game that we're watching right now. This Cedric Paquette hit on Charlie McAvoy, my instant reaction was, ooh, that's bad. And my immediate thought was, well, Paquette's getting suspended for at least the first game of the conference finals if Tampa holds on, or he's getting suspended for game six if Boston wins. And your instant reaction was different than mine, and you thought it wasn't a suspension. And I think now that I've watched it a couple more times, I'm probably somewhere on the fence. I'm definitely closer to, I would think he doesn't get suspended at this point, because rewatching this hit, McAvoy does turn, and he is falling at the same time while he's turning. So as Paquette, I don't really know what he's supposed to do, but this is a physical player and it is a bad result. So, you know, you can never trust the NHL on these things. And a lot of times they are almost they're very reactionary. And I think that if it comes out that McAvoy is seriously injured, I wouldn't be surprised at the same time if Paquette gets suspended. But are you still team? You don't think this is a suspension-worthy hit?
I don't think it's suspension-worthy. Like, I guess I'll say with you where I'm kind of on the fence. Like, if it is a suspension, I won't be overly, you know, like, oh, that's terrible, that shouldn't have been a suspension. But, you know, I think, you know, in real time, it looked a lot worse than when you kind of looked at it on the replay, where you do see it looked like they were just both going in for a puck battle, and McAvoy was coming in on an angle and then turned to try and body out Paquette. And at the same time, Paquette wants to go and lay a hit. And then McAvoy just kind of ended up losing his footing, started falling a little bit. And in turn, ended up Paquette sending him into the boards. What looks like to be a shove on the numbers and head first, McAvoy ended up laying, face down into the ice. So it looked really bad. But if you look at the actual replay and you look at it, it kind of just a really bad turn of events. And, you know, it just seemed like McAvoy got himself turned a little bit and was falling. And Paquette just didn't have enough time to react when he was trying to follow through on just a regular check. But it didn't look like it was a malicious, ill-intended hit to me. It just looked like a bad situation, a situation that turned worse than it was supposed to be.
Yep, and Paquette, by the way, he's been suspended one time in his career, suspended for one game 3 years ago in 2017 for a boarding hit on Bruins defenseman Torrey Krug. Other than that, he has never faced league discipline, at least from what I'm quickly looked up here. So I don't think they would consider him a repeat offender.
No, but Boston would consider it happened against the Bruins and happened here again tonight against McAvoy. I bet you Boston remembers what happened back in 2017. Whether or not the league is going to kind of, whatever, take that into account. And they will, you know, repeat offender is technically taken into account, or at least it's supposed to be, especially kind of a similar call, a boarding call. But, you know, Boston, if they do hold on and bring this to a game six,
they're going to want him suspended.
Yeah, they're going to want him suspended. And I guarantee you, after this one, you're going to have all the players and all the coaches. Bruce Cassidy is pretty much just going to go full on Paul Maurice here and try and get this guy out of game six and give them a little bit of an upper hand.
Yeah. Well, while we're talking about the Bruins and the Lightning, we got this game still going on 8 minutes ago in the third period as we're recording. And we wanted to talk some Islanders and Flyers today as well. There hasn't been a ton that happened in the last week because of the postponements this week. And we'll discuss a little bit of what happened in terms of that as well. But the one question I wanted to ask you about the Flyers and Islanders, maybe we could ask you about the Lightning and Bruins going into this game. I mentioned earlier, every single series in the league right now is 3-1. And we talked about this a little bit on my Locked On Sabres podcast today, was if you had to bet on one team to come back from that 3-1 deficit, which would you pick? And funny enough, my co-host Jordan on Locked On Sabres actually picked the Bruins to come back over Tampa. I picked Colorado to come back over Dallas.
Your co-host is currently wrong now because Tampa just went up 2-1, but continue.
He's wrong in real time here. He's live, or he's wrong. The Bruins, man, like, I don't know, coming into this game, I didn't think of them as even maybe second of teams that could come back. I just don't think they've gotten the goaltending all series, and I'm watching the goal now. It's not a strong, I mean, I think I want Halak to make the save, but he has not really had a strong series against Tampa, and without Rask, I don't know that they were getting the play net that they needed.
Yeah, I think it's insanely unfortunate that Tuukka Rask ended up leaving the bubble for Boston. And, you know, it's his right to leave. Obviously, he felt the need that he had to go back home with his family. And we're not going to criticize him for that move, obviously. But it left this team in kind of a tough spot. It left Jaro Halak kind of in a tough spot. And he hasn't been able to give them the goaltending that Boston needed in order to get past the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, you know, let's not forget that Tampa is, you know, what they were last year, one of the best offensive players in the league, and they continued that through into this season. And when you don't have your number one goaltender and you're relying on a guy like Jaro Halak to be your number one on every single night, you know, even on a back-to-back, it's not going to go very well. And you're seeing it happen here in real time. Tampa has really, really had their way with Boston. And you know, this Andre Palat had himself a heck of a series as well. I think he's got 5 goals in this series alone. Yeah. He's really, really figured out how to get the puck past Jaro Halak. And, you know, it's again, it's just unfortunate set of circumstances for Boston, where they seem to be having a really good season and look to be a serious contender. And then all of a sudden your number one goaltender opts out of the playoffs midway through, and you got to move to your backup, and it's just not the same. And as a result, they're sitting here down 2-1 in a must win game 5.
Yep. And we've spent time talking about the Islanders a lot last week. I am falling for them a little bit here, and if they do end up playing Tampa, I'm going to pick the Lightning, but I'm not going to discount the Islanders, I think, as much as I have in the past. But we'll have plenty of time to talk more about them as we move on. Before we get into anything else hockey-related, or at least on the ice, we should definitely discuss what happened this past weekend, on especially Thursday and Friday, to see games postponed in the NHL. And, Mike, I wonder what your reaction was the night that every other sport had basically boycotted their games, the NBA starting it off with the Milwaukee Bucks protesting the shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin. And the NHL got there, and I do think they deserve the credit that they came around on the issue, that they knew that they couldn't be playing while everybody else wasn't. And I thought Ryan Reeves was very good speaking to the media in front of all the players behind him. Like, I don't know, that was the visual I think I needed. Powerful. From the NHL. Powerful. And a lot of people did. Like you just said, powerful. Like, it was. And I wonder, though, on that night that they weren't playing, did it feel weird to you? Because when I was watching that game, I'm like, man, I don't think they should be playing.
Yes, it did. I was surprised that they played the late game. I think the Boston game was still a little early. Like, they were already at the rink. They were already kind of through their, you know, getting ready in their routines. And, you know, hockey players are creatures of habit. And odds are they probably didn't even know what was going on 3 hours before a game. You know, they shut the mill to the outside world and probably had no idea what was going on. The Colorado-Dallas game did surprise me a little bit, and especially since when you consider a guy like Nazem Kadri, a Hockey Diversity Alliance member, was in that game and decided not to play, or decided to keep playing. You know, like, he didn't make the decision to stop. So I think that one was the one that was a little like, that's a little curious that they're playing this late game. That was certainly enough time to cancel or to postpone the game, but they decided to go on and they took a lot of flack for it. Unjustly, though, the flack went towards the NHL, because if you do look around, you know, the MLB, the MLS, the NBA, it was all player driven. And at the end of the day, it was all up to the players. And, you know, Bill Daly called each team individually and said, "Hey, what are your plans tonight?" Like, he just wanted to know what the plan was. And I don't think he would have stopped anybody. Like, if Colorado said, "We shouldn't be playing tonight, we're going to stand behind Nas and not play," then I think that they would have respected that. But it was a player driven, you know, walkout or boycott in the NBA and all the other leagues. And unfortunately, it didn't trickle into the NHL on the same night that everybody else didn't play. But eventually they caught up. And after some conversations from the rest of the HDA members and Ryan Reeves having other conversations around the league, eventually the NHL did, or the NHL players, I should say, did make the right decision and the right call to suspend play Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, you made a good point about being player driven. Because you're right, these leagues weren't coming out on Wednesday making that decision. Did you see the Rob Manfred video?
With the Mets.
I mean, you can criticize, I think, baseball maybe with that, having to, like, suggesting that they do almost like a fake protest. So in that way, I don't think hockey deserves any, you know, crap or whatever for what they did. Manfred in baseball, I mean, that was brutal. Nothing like that happened, at least.
Oh, and then the GM kind of fall on the sword and say, "Oh, I misheard the story. It was actually from who made the suggestion, not Rob Manfred."
Walking it back.
Oh, you're just falling on the sword here of this guy. What is Bobby Manns paying you over there? Mm-hmm. It was, that was an interesting story.
Yeah. Before we move on from last week, one other thing that happened before the postponed games on the weekend, something that happened while we were speaking last week, Kasperi Kapanen traded from the Toronto Maple Leafs to the Pittsburgh Penguins, back to the Penguins, their first round pick in 2014. And we were reacting to it live. We thought it might be a goalie trade, and it didn't end up being that. But at the end of the day, quickly, because I'm sure we can get your full thoughts at length at Locked On Leafs, your instinct or your reaction to that trade and the return was what?
Great trade for Toronto. They were able to get themselves some cap space by alleviating the cap from Kasperi Kapanen. No pun intended. They were able to get a pretty good prospect as well in Philip Hollander, who by all accounts seems to be a guy who could play in the middle six in the next couple of years, most likely a winger, but he does play a similar game to Kapanen, so I hear. I personally haven't seen him play, but, you know, I had some guys on my show and they said that he's actually probably, you know, ceiling wise, should be a better player than Kapanen, someone who could play in the top six eventually. So getting that on top of a first round pick, just a great trade all around for Toronto. And now they can use that first round pick and either dangle it to get something else, go and get a win now piece, or they can use it to try and get themselves a quality prospect, considering that they lost their first rounder this year when they moved it to Carolina to get rid of Patrick Marleau's contract. So it was a great trade, but I think it's, you can't look at the trade as a whole, because you can look at it and say, well, realistically, they got worse just because they took Kasperi Kapanen off their roster and technically didn't add anything to it. So technically, if they had to play the next day, they were a worse team. Pittsburgh was a better team. But I think that this just signals that there's going to be a few other moves that are going to be made in the offseason, and the finished product will look back on this trade and just look at it. The cap space that moving out Kapanen got will be instrumental for Toronto's offseason. They'll also get some more moves as well to move out some cap. I almost guarantee it. And we'll talk about one of the guys later on. Yep. And also getting a first round pick and a pretty good prospect too. Unbelievable work there by Kyle Dubas.
Yeah, I agree. I think they killed it in that deal. And Jim Rutherford is not looking great as of late, defending Jack Johnson the way he did, then making that trade. We'll see what else he has in store this offseason. I'm sure goalie will be a part of it, because Matt Murray and Tristan Jarry, who we've both spoken about a lot, actually, are both RFAs. And they'll maybe factor into our conversation coming up next as well. Goalies, Freddie Anderson is rumored to be interested in by a couple of teams. So we'll talk about him and what the goalie market looks like this coming off season, and we might have a result of Tampa Boston by then, so maybe we'll discuss a little bit about if Tampa holds on, them winning that series and heading to the conference finals. Jody Biasi, Mike DiStefano here on the Lockdown NHL podcast. First, I want to take a quick minute to talk to you about rockauto.com, a family business now serving auto customers online for over 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck, like right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano, back here on the Lockdown NHL podcast. Follow us on social media. I'm at on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR. Mike is at Mickey_Canuck. While we were in our little timeout there, Bruins tied the game. We got 2-2. So, you know, knowing Tampa and how overtimes go this playoffs, we might not have, by tomorrow night, we might not know or might not have them talking about, we not might not have something to talk about with them being in the conference finals. So we'll see what happens there. 2.5 minutes to go. They're tied at 2. So we'll see if we get anything out of that to talk about. But before we get into anything in that game, Freddie Anderson interested. A couple teams are interested, including the Carolina Hurricanes. I think that's the team that I'm most interested to see what they do in net. In the East, you mentioned before we recorded here, the Columbus has showed interest as well. There was a report about them. Where do you stand on Anderson, the likelihood he's traded out of Toronto? And I don't know, it feels to me like if there's a couple teams that are interested in him, you could get, I think Toronto could maybe get something that will help them a lot next year.
They could. The only thing is, there's a lot of goaltenders that are going to be on the open market this year. Like, it's going to be a saturated market, whether it's free agency or through trade. And whether or not that's going to diminish the value of somebody like Freddie Anderson remains to be seen, but it's very possible as well. So in order to kind of mitigate that, I think they're going to have to get out, in front of things and kind of be the first domino to fall. And you know, this report comes out from Elliot Friedman that Carolina's interested, and Toronto obviously says, well, we're only going to make the move if we know we can make an upgrade. We're not just going to make a move just for the sake of making change. But from Carolina's perspective, this makes a lot of sense. Like, the thing that really held them back in the playoffs this year was goaltending, whether it was both Mrazek and James Reimer doing his traditional meltdown against the Boston Bruins in the third period, happened once again this year, but this time with the Hurricanes. And for all those Leaf fans out there, they know exactly why I said it the way that I just said it. But anyways, they need a goaltender and they need one bad. They're a super talented team that just needs some help in the, at the goalie position. And a guy like Frederick Anderson, yeah, he's struggled a little bit in Toronto. And I think one of the biggest things is if he goes to Carolina, I mean, we've talked about it, how they have one of the best Ds in the entire league. And you know, put a guy like Anderson behind that defense, how much better are his numbers going to be? How much better will he be? So I think that Anderson would be a huge upgrade for Carolina and something that they might want to pay a decent amount to go out and get, considering that he's a guy who only makes $5 million and he's going to be a UFA. So he's someone that they could end up extending and making him a long-term answer.
Yeah, that's it's interesting what Carolina will do, especially because I think they are just so loaded up front and on the blue line that if they fix the goaltending situation, I would want to bet on them to win the Stanley Cup next year, because yeah, that has been the biggest hindrance towards them becoming a real contender in the past few years. Is like you mentioned, like they're just so inconsistent in net. You can never count on their guys to show up, and you're relying on backups that are having career seasons, like Curtis McElhaney or Peter Mrazek, or James Reimer has been a starter probably more so than those two throughout his career. But even him at this point, like, that's not a guy I want to be trusting to start 50-60 games. And I think Carolina could use that guy. And you mentioned, like, this is a deep year for them to have that issue, because Freddie Anderson might be available for trade. Free agency is loaded. Braden Holtby. I love the idea of Robin Leonard ending up in Carolina. He has been he's been a top 10 goalie really for 2-3 years in a row now. Especially the last 2 years with Chicago, Vegas, and then last year with the Islanders. So if they can find a fix like that, I would think of them as a contender for next season. Columbus, I don't know why they'd be interested in a goalie though.
No, they're not interested in a goalie. They're interested in dealing one of their goalies.
Dealing one of their goalies. I don't know why. I think they're solid. And I think what they maybe proved in this playoffs is it's good for them to have two cheap options, but two cheap options to be able to turn to if the other one falters. Because in that Toronto series, they had to switch from Court Bisalo to Merz Lincolns, and they didn't really skip a beat. So if one of them were to be having a rough series, to not have the other to turn to, I would think of it in two different ways. One would be, I like having that combo. The other one would be, though, I don't like what Columbus, I think that they could use some more talent up front. And if they could turn one of those goalies for a forward, then I think I would like it.
Well, I think that's the point, right? Like, they want to turn their strength and try and help their weakness, right? So take what they have, a position of strength in goalie, take one of those guys, whether it be Korpisalo or Merz Lincolns, and turn it into some upfront offensive talent. I think that's the whole point of what they're trying to do. I don't think they're going to just trade it for a draft pick or for a prospect. I think it's going to be for an established, ready now forward up front who is going to allow them to kind of pick up their offense, because let's face it, they don't really have many guys who can score goals. Like, outside of Cam Atkinson, maybe Bjorkstrand had a pretty good season, and Dubois, there's not much there offensively. Like, they should not have won that series against Toronto. And if they could turn one of those goaltenders into some more offensive talent and try and round out that team, and balance is the kind of the key ingredient. If you look at all the teams that are still remaining in the playoffs right now, it's all because they are all completely balanced. And that's something that the Blue Jackets don't have. And the only reason that they don't have it, the only ingredient that they're missing, is that scoring touch. So if they can take one of their goalies and get it, that's just going to help them going forward.
Yeah, that's true. It's so interesting what's going to happen in net this offseason, because so many guys are going to be looking for contracts. Like, Braden Holtby's going to want a big contract. Leonard's going to want a big contract. Corey Crawford, probably in a short-term deal, will probably want a high cap hit. And I don't know. Like, you mentioned the story Frank Saravelli was talking about today before the podcast started, that 13 NHL teams are going to have salary cap overages. And let's get into that a little bit, like the ramifications of 13 teams being over the cap already, maybe. And like, I don't know how many teams are going to have money to shell out for a goalie with the cap not going up.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is going into next year is going to be the reason why these teams have these overages going into next year. It's not that they're over the cap, but they're going to have carryovers from this year into next because of performance bonuses. So a lot of these rookies that have performance bonuses are going to be going into next season. So, you know, one of the teams that's really kind of going to be strapped in almost $2 million in bonuses is going to be the Boston Bruins, who actually have tied it and are bringing it into overtime as we speak. In a do or die game 5. So the Bruins are going to be one of those teams that they're going to have an extra $2 million in overages that's going to be carried into next season. Carolina, one of the teams we just spoke about, they're going to have to bring in $1.3 million. And there's a whole list of others. Your Buffalo Sabres are going to have to bring in $1.275 million. I would imagine that's because of probably both Olofsson and Rasmus Dahlin having pretty good seasons. But there's going to be a lot of teams out there that are going to have a little bit less money than they initially thought they would have, not only because of the flat cap, but because of the overages from the bonuses that are going to have to be paid out to the rookies. And the one thing that is kind of a saving grace a little bit when it comes to this, that Frank Saravalli notes, is that because this year was a shortened season, he says, quote, all 13 teams with overages from this year will be able to divide the amount equally over the next two seasons if they so desire, according to the NHL's new collective bargaining agreement. So instead of Boston having $1.928445 million, which is the full number there, instead of them having that much that they have to carry over to next season, they could split it in half and have half of it carry over this season and then half of it carry over next season as well. So that's kind of an interesting, another little wrinkle. And if you want to bring it back to the whole goaltending thing, that just means that, you know, a team like the Carolina Hurricanes, who we think are going to be in the market for a goaltender, or even, you know, possibly the Buffalo Sabres, your Sabres could be in the market, the Edmonton Oilers mm-hmm. could be in the market for a goaltender. All three of these teams are carrying overages from performance bonuses into next year, which could take a decent chunk out of what you initially may have thought they would have going into the 2020-2021 season.
Yeah, man, I hope the Sabres are in the market for a goalie. I'm not confident. I really do think it's going to be Ullmark and Hutton again next year, but I hope it's Ullmark and somebody else. Hutton was just, I can't get over how bad he was last year. Now, to be fair, and Mike, you might laugh at this, I don't even know if you have seen the story, but he had to have eye surgery in the off season because he literally, like, medically was not seeing straight last season. But my reaction to that has always been, if he's not seeing straight and he can't see the puck, how the hell are you letting him in the net? But that's you know, I got all off season to talk about that on Locked On Sabres.
I mean, it makes sense if you look at, you know, the fact that he allowed four or five goals a game.
Yeah, I know. It was brutal. He won his first six starts, and then I think he didn't win a game the rest of the season. Or he won maybe like one game towards the end. I don't remember. So, yeah. No, but like you said, like the overage penalty, and that is what happened, at least with the Sabres, was that Dahlin ended up, I think, finishing in the top 10 of NHL defensemen in assist, and he got a bonus because of that. Olofsson got some bonus because of his rookie goal total. So like you said, like those things that teams might not plan on happening, they might hope it happens, but they don't plan on it happening. That would be a good, nice break, because teams are going to need help and they're going to want to make moves. And if the league tells them you don't have the cap space to do it and you just can't do anything, then a lot of teams are going to be in trouble. So I think that if they are able to spread it over, like the CBA is saying, then I think that that's going to be very helpful for a lot of these teams. All right, we're going to overtime, Bruins and Lightning. So we're not going to result by the end of the podcast. One thing I wanted to start with today, I forgot. Our Blue Jays made a couple trades today. Any thoughts on the three guys they brought in?
Our Blue Jays. I love it.
They are our Blue Jays.
The Toronto Buffalo Blue Jays. I really like what they did today. Going out, getting a couple of pitchers, Robbie Ray, a lefty. He's a guy who, you know, is an all-star, 2 years ago? Ross Stripling, a career ERA, in the low threes. And both those guys just kind of, for some reason this year, it hasn't been going well. And what we know about baseball GMs is they always think that they're smarter than the other GMs. And if there's a player who's been doing well in the past and for some reason is struggling 1 year, it's always a mechanical issue and that they believe that they can fix it. So hopefully that happens. And then Jonathan Villar, another kid that they picked up, a utility outfielder with some blazing speed. I think that was a really nice depth piece. All in all, I think depth was kind of the name of the game for what the Jays did throughout the entire offseason, or throughout the entire trade deadline season. Picked up Dan Vogelback a couple of weeks ago. Tyon Walker they picked up last week. So some good depth improvements to the rotation. They got a nice bench bat. They got a utility player. They got someone who can steal some bases. All in all, I like what the Jays did. They added themselves some solid pieces to the team that will probably compete for a playoff spot.
Yep. They were in a playoff spot the last I checked with the expanded playoffs. You'll appreciate this. I'm actually, and you know what it's like, by the way, it's almost like it's like a junior, like the Jays are like a junior hockey player, and like it's your kid, but they're coming to me and I'm the Billet family because that's where they're going to play juniors almost. It's kind of, that's kind of what the Blue Jays feel like this year. They're your Jays, but I'm just, you know, I'm looking over that, watching over them for a
season. Have you driven down the highway there and looked over to your right and saw them playing yet, or what?
It's funny. I was actually at a red light the other day on, I believe it's Michigan Street, right by the ballpark in downtown Buffalo. And I was at a red light, and you could see through the crease, like between where the stands and the clubhouse are. And I just looked, and there was a Boston Red Sox outfielder standing there. That's pretty cool. Like, I'm sitting here in Buffalo, I'm like, that's the Boston Red Sox right there. And I've already had that with the Blue Jays because I have seen them like driving down the highway. You'll appreciate this though. The biggest building in Buffalo, the one Seneca Tower that overlooks the ballpark, they have been like renting out some of the suites on the upper floors for people that want to watch the Blue Jays game. So me and a couple of buddies are actually getting one of these suites in the next couple of weeks for a Jays game. And we're just going to go up there for a night and hang out and watch the game. So, so I think that should be pretty fun. I have never been to a Major League Baseball game. I don't think that would count. But I'll be watching live a Major League Baseball game, maybe for the first time, if that counts for something.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Hopefully they pull a W. They seem to be doing really well at Salem Field, so hopefully they can keep it up.
They've been very good. They've been scoring like crazy. And, I mean, it is a minor league ballpark. I forget about the dimension difference. So maybe that has something to do with it, but I don't know. But they have been scoring like crazy lately. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to today's episode. I'll be back on Friday for the Friday edition of Locked On NHL with Tom. Me and Mike will be back next Tuesday. We'll probably be talking about the Eastern Conference Finals at that point. I'd be surprised if we weren't by that point. So we'll talk to you next week. Be sure to check out Locked On Leafs with Mike. Check out Locked On Sabres with myself. Thanks, everyone, for listening. This has been the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.